How are you feeling? How do you feel today? Are you in the mood to practice English with us? We're looking at feelings vocabulary today in Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Hello,
I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig.
How are you, Craig?
Very well, thank you. If you're a new listener to this award-winning podcast, you're very welcome. With over 40 years of teaching between us, we'll help you improve your English and take it to the next level.
Craig, I think we have an email from a listener called Alberto.
Yes, Alberto, who's written in the past. It's Luis Alberto Díaz García who sent us an email. And Alberto says this: please help me with a doubt. Oh, we had doubt last week, doubt and hesitate. Please help me with a doubt. When do I have to use to me or for me? For example, when people are talking about some topic and you have to give your opinion, is it to me or for me?
For me.
Yeah. For me, I think that, yeah, exactly, for me. And his other example, when you're in a restaurant and your girlfriend asks for fish and you ask for your dish after her, do you say for me only salad or to me only salad?
For me.
Yeah. So the waiter looks at you and you say, oh, for me only salad, thanks. Yeah, for me, for both of your examples. Thanks for your question, Alberto.
When might we say to me?
It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
It's all the same to me.
Or it looks to me like it's going to rain.
You didn't sing happy birthday to me? It depends on the verb,
yeah,
and the context. There are many, many examples. But in this episode, we're going to help you talk about your feelings. And this is because of some audio feedback we received from Mamin. So here's Mamin's feedback.
Hi, Craig. Hi, Reza. How are you doing? Here I am. This is Mamin. Only to say thank you once more. And, well, I've been listening to a lovely song in my commute to my work. Well, I don't know if it's commute or commuting. Sorry, I never know how to say it. So, it's a lovely song called My Valentine from Paul McCartney. And suddenly I realized that I didn't speak with you for a long time. And here I am. Thank you. And, well, taking advantage of the situation, I wonder if you could speak in one of your podcasts about feelings. I mean, not about your feelings, but about how can we express ourselves in terms of feelings? Because I think that we always use the verb feel to express something. Well, if you could do it, I'll appreciate. And thank you very much. A big hug and a big kiss. And, well, I'll miss you, by the way. Big kiss. Bye.
Thank you, Mamin. We miss you too.
Thanks, Mamin.
Commute is a verb. So I commute. I commute to work. I commute every day. I commute from my house outside of Valencia into the center of the city. It's when you travel for work. So you work in the city center, but you live maybe outside and you have to take a train or a car to commute to work. But it's also a noun, isn't it, Reza?
Yes, it's used as a noun, so I think Mamin used it as a noun correctly. You can say, I listen to Aprender Inglés with Reza and Craig during my commute. My commute, noun, commute.
And also the person who commutes is a commuter, E-R, C-O-M-M-U-T-E-R. I'm a commuter. I commute to work every day. Or I have a 20-minute commute. That's commute as a noun. So, feelings. How are you feeling at the moment, Reza?
I'm feeling pretty good. Although it's raining, it's not a very nice day. I feel quite good. What about you?
I'm feeling a bit, I've got a bit of a cold, so I'm feeling a bit blocked up.
You feel under the weather?
I'm feeling a bit under the weather, a bit blue, a bit sad, a bit depressed because I don't feel well. Sorry. Feeling a bit down.
A bit down. I wonder, will the listeners notice that Craig, he's been very strong, he's been very brave, but actually he has had a bit of a sore throat. But as a true podcaster, he's battling on and he's recording all the same. So let me tell you, listeners, you don't know how lucky you are to have someone as dedicated as Craig. Despite his sore throat, he's continuing with the podcast.
Well, you know what they say? The show must go on.
Indeed, indeed.
So Reza's very positive. He's very enthusiastic. Those are also ways you could feel. You could feel happy, positive. You can feel wonderful and enthusiastic. You can feel energetic, confident, and healthy. Those are all positive feelings. Whereas I mentioned before some negative feelings, feeling blue, depressed. You can feel stressed from work, for example. Let's listen to Anna from Mexico, who also sent us a voice message, and see if you can tell us how Anna feels and why she feels that way.
Hello, Reza. Hello, Craig. This is Anna. I'm from Mexico. And firstly, I want to thank you for your professional job doing this podcast. I listen to you every week. And second, I wanted to record this voice message because I want to share with you a feeling that I have nowadays. I don't feel well. I feel disappointed. I feel upset. And it is because of my level of English. I wanted to change my job. I wanted to search for new opportunities. But the ability that I need to improve is my level of English. I have presented a pair of interviews in English, but they say, sorry, but you don't have the level that we need for this job. And it's really frustrating because I have studied very much for many years, and I don't pass to the next level. I in the intermediate, and it's not good for me. So I need your advice. I know I don't have more time.
Well, Craig, what do you make of Anna's message?
Well, how was Anna feeling? She said she wasn't feeling very well. She feels a bit upset. She was feeling a bit depressed, a bit frustrated. Why was she feeling like that?
Well, her main feeling seems to be disappointment. She's disappointed that her English isn't as good as she would like it to be. Well, you know what, Anna? It sounds pretty good to me.
I think she sounds very good.
Very good. Your pronunciation is very, very good. Very clear. Good intonation. Your grammar and vocabulary on the whole is nearly perfect in that recording. Yeah, it's true. You may have made a few mistakes and maybe your variety of or range of grammar and vocabulary could be better. But hey, you're pretty good.
Yep, I was very impressed with Anna's English, but I wanted to find out a bit more because Anna didn't say exactly what her profession was and which jobs she had applied for. So I sent Anna an email and I asked her for some more details. And this is what Anna wrote back to me. She said, I'm a manufacturing engineer and I have applied for these kinds of jobs like a project engineer, process engineer, other jobs related to manufacturing. She says, I think I've not been accepted because the level of English they need is advanced because global companies work with people around the world and it's required that people speak about specifications of machines and materials, things like measures and tolerances and things like that, especially, she says, over negotiations in money and pay. So those are the kind of problems that Anna is facing, and she does sound a bit frustrated. I don't know if you've got any suggestions or recommendations. One thing that I thought of reading her email was maybe Monica Stocker's FITA course. Now, Monica is a friend of Inglés Podcast, and she's a very good teacher. She basically teaches online on her academy, and she every so often she releases a course for intermediate level students to take them to advanced. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is obviously.
Is that what FITA means? From intermediate to advanced?
Exactly. Ah, yeah, from intermediate to advanced. And I'll put a link to Monica's webpage at inglespodcast.com/134.
Because Anna sounds to me, Anna, it just so happens that by chance at this moment in time, I teach not one, not two, three classes of advanced English at the British Council, doing an exam in about 2 weeks from now. So I'm very familiar with the advanced level. You could be in that class or in one of those classes. You are more or less an advanced student. More or less, you're just at that stage where you're just about kind of advanced level. You're leaving intermediate, going into advanced. Comparing you to my students, so we understand your frustration. You just want to break into that C1 advanced level. You're arriving there. You're getting there. Just be optimistic and keep practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another possibility I thought was with our sponsors, iTalki. iTalki sponsor this podcast, so I'd like to mention that as a disclaimer. But if you're interested in improving your English with a one-to-one teacher online, obviously iTalki can help you, because you can tell the teacher exactly what you need to prepare you for job interviews and to prepare you for conversations with future employers. And that's one way of improving your English through iTalki. So if you'd like more information, you can go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki, and you can get your first lesson free if you sign up with us.
And Craig, what about the podcast we did about job interviews? I can't remember the number. Can you?
Reza and I actually recorded two podcasts that help you with job interview questions and preparing for interviews. If you go to inglespodcast.com/43 and 58, so inglespodcast.com/58, you can find free podcasts to help you prepare for future interviews. And I've also just finished an ebook that will have audio that we're going to sell on the Mansion Inglés digital website. What I'll do is I'm going to give a free copy to everyone who's signed up with us for show notes. So every Patreon will get a free copy that I'll send by email. And I'll also send you a copy, Anna. It'll only be a few euros if you'd like to buy it. But I think for Anna, because she sent us a voice message, we can send her a free ebook. Don't you think so, Risa?
Yeah.
So hopefully that will help you prepare for future job interviews. And just keep working. Just keep working, Anna. Keep practicing your English. Keep listening to us. And you have those other options of Monica Stocker's FITA course, iTalki if you want to pay for an online teacher. Any other suggestions?
I would just repeat everything Craig said. If you don't mind, and I have one little correction to make. You said a pair of interviews. No, a couple of interviews is a typical mistake. A pair is for two things which always go together. A pair of glasses, a pair of trousers, or Craig and I are a pair of fools that always go together. A pair is two things which go together.
Speak for yourself, mate.
Un par de tontos. But when you mean not necessarily specifically two things that go together, we say a couple. So recently you've had a couple of interviews, okay? But your vocabulary was very impressive.
So don't feel bad. Don't feel discouraged. Try and feel positive. Try and feel enthusiastic and keep applying for those jobs and trying to increase your level of English gradually. Let's look at a list of feelings and let's see if they're positive or negative. because I think some feelings are clearly positive, some feelings are clearly negative, but I think there are some feelings that are maybe neutral. They could be either. What about anxious? Anxiosa?
Generally negative, no?
Yeah, I think so. I'm feeling anxious about the job interview.
Yeah.
Usually a negative feeling.
What about ashamed?
Negative. I'm ashamed of my level of Spanish, for example.
Yeah.
Avergonzado.
Avergonzado, yeah. Don't confuse ashamed with shameful. If something is shameful, it's something that shouldn't happen. For example, for someone to steal money from a pensioner, it's shameful. But ashamed is how you feel when something embarrassing happens to you. Not the same. Ashamed.
And remember those prepositions that are dependent on some of these adjectives. It's ashamed of. So I'm ashamed of my level of Spanish. Astonished?
We are astonished at the number of listeners we've got. May it continue.
That's positive, isn't it?
Very positive. Yeah.
And astonished at.
You usually positive. I suppose you could be astonished in a bad way, though, couldn't you? I was astonished at how the bank robbers casually walked out of the bank and didn't even run away. They were so confident. I was astonished. So it's not necessarily always for something positive.
Asombrado. And if it's followed by a verb, it's infinitive. I was astonished to notice, for example. Awful.
I'm not that bad, Craig. Am I? Craig has just summed me up in a word. Awful.
Rez is awful.
Horrible, espantoso, terrible. Awful. So it's very negative.
Very negative. I had an awful experience the other day. Really, really bad.
There is one strange use of the adverb awfully, but now we're talking about the adverb in slightly old-fashioned and very posh English. Posh, pijo. People use the adverb awfully in a positive way, say, oh, you're awfully nice.
It was awfully good.
Yeah. Or even you're terribly nice, or that was terribly good. They mean very, very good. So that's a strange use of the adverb awfully or terribly. Mm-hmm. It's a bit old-fashioned and a bit posh, but you can still hear it sometimes.
I feel bored.
Yes, I have that effect on Craig. He feels bored.
Aburrido?
Yes, when he records with me, often he feels bored.
So obviously uninterested. I feel bored. I'm bored. And remember, the passive adjective is ed, the active adjective ing. So if the podcast is boring, you are
bored.
And if the podcast is interesting, you are
interested.
But probably the podcasting will be confusing. So you'll be
confused.
Confused, confundido.
But it might be exciting and you'll be
excited. Concerned means worried, preocupado.
Yeah, so that's a negative thing, isn't it? Actually, no, thinking about it, not always. I'm concerned about your well-being. I suppose that's positive. That means worried, but in a positive way. I'm concerned about your well-being, tu bienestar. So it's good that I'm concerned then.
Well, you can be worried about positive things that happen to you. I'm concerned about how I'm going to spend the million euros I won on the lottery. Mm-hmm. Contented?
I am, thank you, with the podcast. I'm satisfied. It's a positive thing to be contented.
Contento.
Contented or just content means the same thing.
Like happy. Is it the same as happy? I'm contented.
I would say not exactly, no, because you do hear people saying, well, I'm not happy, but I am content with my life.
Yeah.
Meaning it's good enough, but they'd like it to be nicer in some ways. Not exactly the same, is it?
No.
Contento and feliz, they're not the same, are they?
It's not as strong.
Not quite.
Disappointed, obviously negative. Decepcionado.
Yeah. We like to think that none of you are disappointed with our podcast, but if you are, don't hesitate to let us know. We'll be happy to try and make them better.
We're trying to make you feel ecstatic, very, very happy and joyful. Similar in Spanish, extático. So ecstatic, very, very positive.
As you've heard listening to these podcasts, from our anecdotes and our terrible singing, Craig and I are not easily embarrassed, because we probably should be by now, but we're not easily avergonzado. We're not easily ashamed.
Yeah, remember, embarrassed doesn't mean pregnant in English.
No. Craig and I are not easily pregnant either, but that would be very different. Pregnant is only for females. Embarrassed means avergonzado for men or women.
Embarrassed is self-conscious, so it's when your face goes red because it's an embarrassing situation. So the situation is embarrassing and you feel embarrassed.
Craig, when was the last time you felt furious?
Furious. I felt furious. Oh, I can't think of an example. I haven't felt furious for a long time. I've mainly been feeling contented. Perhaps that's my age. When was the last time you felt furious?
Oh, a long time ago, actually. I may have felt mildly angry lately, but not furious. Furious is furioso. Craig, guilty. Is that a good thing or a bad thing if you feel guilty?
It's negative. Yeah, you feel guilty. What's the preposition? Guilty about. Mm-hmm. You feel guilty about doing something. Culpable.
Or very often guilty about not doing something.
And excited? Entusiasmado. I'm feeling excited about this weekend.
Why? Have you got good plans?
Just resting, really. End of the week, no work, relaxing. I'm feeling excited about putting my feet up and relaxing. And I'm feeling hopeful, optimistic. I'm feeling hopeful that I won't be working this Sunday.
Craig, have you ever felt inadequate?
Or frequently.
Oh, really? In what kind of situation do you feel inadequate, which means insufficient, deficiente?
Oh, I feel inadequate as a lover. I feel inadequate as a man. I feel inadequate as... I'm constantly feeling inadequate, deficiente, inapropiado. That's life. You know?
It's not a good feeling.
It's not
good. So do you feel insecure and inferior? Is that the source of your inadequacy?
Yes, I feel inferior, I feel insecure, and that makes me feel irritated, which is irritado. I feel very irritated at feeling insecure, inferior, and inadequate.
But why should the founder of and one of the best podcasters in the world, Craig of EnglishPodcast.com, feel insecure?
I don't feel insecure about my podcasting. I feel insecure, or my teaching. I feel insecure about everything else in my life.
Oh, it's just everything else. Okay.
I feel really insecure as a cook.
Oh,
I've invited people to come for a meal. I'm going to cook shepherd's pie in a couple of weeks.
Ooh, lovely shepherd's pie.
And it's the only thing I know. I think I know how to cook, but I'm feeling very insecure because I want it to be good and I'm not very good in the kitchen. So I'm feeling a bit inadequate in the culinary department at the moment.
Is there any cook that you're jealous of? Any cook you can think of?
Jamie Oliver?
Yeah.
What's the difference between jealous and envious?
Is it not pretty similar?
Many people confuse them. Even native speakers confuse them. Envy, if you're envious, and if you have envy, envy is the noun, E-N-V-Y, that's when you want what somebody else has. So, for example, I'm envious of your excellent Spanish because you speak Spanish really well. I'm envious of my neighbor's car, for example. When you're jealous, that's when you're worried that someone's going to take something you have. For example, if you're married and you're jealous of your wife, you're worried that your wife may leave you for another man.
Okay.
That's not exactly the same as being envious. Mm-hmm. So jealousy is a reaction to the threat, amenaza, of losing something, usually losing someone. But envy is a reaction to lacking something, que te falta algo.
I see.
So I'm envious of my friend's townhouse an office space. I went to visit a friend. He invited me for lunch a couple of weeks ago. Hello, Pepe, if you're listening. He's got a lovely house, beautiful place in a village outside Valencia with a fantastic space in the roof. And when I saw this beautiful space in the attic of his house, I thought, wow, this will be a fantastic recording studio. If I lived in this house, I could put microphones, I could put insulation, I could build a studio, a place to work and create podcasts. So I was really envious of his house. So that's the difference between between envy, envidia, and jealousy, celos.
Craig, when was the last time you felt mad about something?
The last time I felt mad or angry was, well, not really mad or angry, but I felt a bit annoyed yesterday when two or three people phoned trying to sell me things at lunchtime. So, you know, telemarketing, they phone the house, they try to sell you something. And that, for me, wastes my time. It makes me a bit angry.
So it's definitely a negative thing.
Yeah, it's definitely negative.
Aren't you mad about podcasting?
No.
You're not mad about podcasting?
Oh, mad in a positive way.
Ah.
Yeah, crazy about.
I thought you were, me too. Yeah. So mad can have a positive meaning. In colloquial English, if you say you're mad about something, you love it.
Exactly.
Craig's mad about podcasting. He's obsessed with it. He loves it so much.
Do you think mad in the sense of angry, the negative meaning, is more American English? He's really mad. He's really angry.
Yeah. More typical to say angry in British English. Mm-hmm. Whereas to be mad about something in a positive way is very British. Yeah. I'm just mad about Mozart. Oh, I love Mozart.
Yeah. I'm mad about podcasting. Peaceful. Tranquilo. Would you say you're a peaceful person? Do you often feel peaceful?
Most of the time, although when I get stressed, I can get very stressed. But most of the time, I do feel peaceful.
Do you feel peaceful now or do you feel stressed? Because you've been working quite hard.
Right now, I feel excited because we're doing the podcast. But recently, lately, over the last couple of weeks, I felt a little bit stressed because I've had a lot of work to do, correcting exams with very short deadlines. But generally, I like to think I'm quite peaceful. You seem like a very peaceful person. Are you? Do you feel peaceful most of the time?
Not most of the time, a part of the time. I need to start meditating again. I've realized I'm having trouble sleeping. I need to find that peace, and I need to start calming down and meditating and watching fewer television programs. I think that's what's making me a little stressed, the TV. Proud is orgulloso. Are you proud of our podcasts?
Of course I am. Apart from the podcasts, what are you proud of in your life, Craig?
I'm proud of the material I create for the internet, the other material I create. I'm proud of when my students pass their exams. I'm very proud of them when they pass the FCE exam, for example. Mm-hmm. What are you proud of?
I'm proud of my tortilla española. My Spanish omelette. When I cook it, I think it's pretty good.
It's very good. I've tasted it. It's very good.
I'm quite proud of it.
Is there anything you're scared of?
I'm scared of certain risks. I'm scared of... what am I scared of? Oh, that's a good question. I'm scared of... spending a large amount of money on things that I'm not sure about. For example,
doing up a flat.
That scares me. I'm very happy to spend large amounts of money on things I know what I'm getting. Like going on a holiday, you kind of know what you're getting, or buying a car, you know what you're getting. But doing up your flat, they could con you.
To do up a flat is arreglar, hacer reformas. So Reza's scared of starting to do up his flat.
You can spend a lot of money and get nothing in return. Does that kind of thing scare you a bit?
Yeah, it does scare me a bit. Lots of things scare me, but let's save it for another podcast.
Craig, boo. Did that scare you?
No.
No, that didn't scare you. He wasn't scared of me saying boo.
Boos don't scare me because I'm not very sensitive. You can feel sensitive, and it's a false friend because sensitive in Spanish is...
Sensitive is sensible.
And sensible is sensato. So be careful of those two commonly confused words, sensitive, sensible. Suspicious, sospechoso. You can feel suspicious. The preposition is of. So you can feel suspicious of your neighbor. You can feel suspicious of your cable company. You can feel suspicious of people on the internet.
Suspicious is a tricky word because, as Craig says, you can feel suspicious of another person or thing. But also, if you say somebody looks or is suspicious, then you're talking about your feelings towards them. Mm-hmm. For example, look at that man in the street. What's he doing? He looks suspicious. He looks suspicious. That means I feel suspicious about him. It's a strange word. It can refer to your own feelings or what you feel about another person.
There's a suspicious man outside the door. He looks suspicious. What's he doing? To threaten. Aminathar. So you can feel threatened. You can feel in danger.
I virtually never feel threatened.
I don't since I've been living in Spain, because Spain's quite a peaceful, relaxed, laid-back kind of country. I don't feel threatened here at all. Mm. Do you feel threatened by international terrorism?
Not really, no. No, I know it's something we have to take very seriously, and it is a threat, but I don't personally feel threatened. I feel there's nothing I can do to stop it. If it's going to happen and I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, what can I do? But I don't want to lose any sleep thinking about it, you know?
You feel helpless.
Yeah, feel helpless, exactly.
Me too. You can also feel vulnerable. That's a difficult word. V-U-L-N-E-R-A-B-E, vulnerable.
It's the same spelling in Spanish, isn't it? But it's quite different pronunciation in English.
How do you say it in Spanish?
Vulnerable.
Different stress, vulnerable. So the stress is on the first syllable in English.
In what kind of situations do you feel vulnerable?
If I went out in the street with no clothes.
Yes, you certainly would be vulnerable.
I'd feel very vulnerable.
Vulnerable to attack or vulnerable to ridicule?
Both. Both. Not sexual attack. Definitely not sexual attack.
Verbal attacks of mockery and ridicule, yes.
People laughing at me.
I think the same would happen to me.
Have you ever sunbathed naked?
No, I haven't.
I have, once in Greece. Oh. I felt a little vulnerable. So I sunbathed face down in the sand because I was feeling vulnerable.
You hid your pride and joy.
I was feeling worthless. Sin valor is our final adjective. To feel despreciado, worthless, worthless, which also has the meaning of like this, a thing can be worthless, can't it? You can have a worthless painting or a worthless piece of jewellery. No tiene valor.
Craig, do you mind if I ask you a question or two?
Go ahead.
You can ask me some too if you like. How did you feel when we won the podcasting award in 2015?
Oh, I felt wonderful. I felt very proud of the work that we'd done. I felt very proud of our community, the people who are listening now. And I felt overjoyed and ecstatic. How did you feel?
Exactly the same as you. And you know what? I felt so disappointed with myself that I couldn't go because I had a hospital appointment. And when we won in 2015, I couldn't go to collect the prize. It was such a shock. I was so surprised. I didn't think we were going to win.
Neither did I. How did you feel this year when we didn't win? Because you came this year. How did you feel?
I know the year I did go, we didn't win. I felt a bit disappointed, I must say. I thought we had a very good chance. I was feeling very optimistic. And then I was a little disappointed when we didn't win anything.
I was feeling hopeful. But in the end, I felt the same as you, a little disappointed. But I felt very pleased that we'd made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. And I felt very proud of everyone who voted for us because so many people reacted on Twitter and gave us their support.
And can we add an adjective and say, we feel very grateful to you for getting us to the final.
Absolutely.
Then it was in the hands of the judges to decide who won. But we're grateful that you voted to get us there. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about some more feelings before we leave you. How do you feel when someone catches you doing something that you shouldn't be doing? Si alguien te pilla.
Well, this happened to me, nearly happened to me once or twice when I was about 15 years old.
What were you doing?
My mom caught me doing something I shouldn't, but I don't really want to talk about that on the podcast. And I did feel very ashamed, I must say. But I later discovered it was quite normal in adolescence. Let's not talk too much about that. Recently, let's see. No, I can't think of anything recently. As I said, I don't want to go into details about why I felt ashamed in my adolescence being caught doing things I shouldn't. I'll leave that to the imagination. What about you, Craig? Anything recently?
No. Boringly, I've been doing everything I should be doing. I haven't been doing anything that I shouldn't be doing. So,
do you feel content with that?
Yep, I feel quite content. Yeah.
Are you satisfied with life at the moment?
Yeah, I feel quite satisfied with everything, the way things are going.
Now, Craig, you mentioned your noisy neighbours earlier, and it's true, let me tell you, listeners, sometimes they do make quite a bit of noise when we're podcasting and we have to pause and try our best to edit it out. How do you feel when they're making a lot of noise?
I feel very irritated and a little bit angry when I know it's not their fault, they don't know we're recording, but it's very frustrating, so I feel frustrated. How do you feel?
A little bit frustrated as well. But I mean, I don't have to live here. Do they stop you sleeping? How do you feel when that happens? Have they ever done that?
Yeah, there's a new neighbour upstairs with a young baby who's crying a lot during the night, and that wakes me up because in Spain the walls are very thin, and when you're living in a flat in an apartment block or a block of flats, then sometimes you get noisy neighbours. It's just, you have to accept it. It's part of living in Spain. But it's a bit. I feel a bit annoyed sometimes when I can't sleep.
And when you get up the next day after your sleep being interrupted, do you feel a bit grumpy?
I feel tired.
Ah.
Yeah.
But you don't get grumpy.
I do when I'm very tired. There was one day, 3 or 4 days ago, I only had 5 or 6 hours sleep and I woke up very, very grumpy. Very, very irritated.
Grumpy is grunion, isn't it? Yeah, grunion.
One of the seven dwarfs.
That's right. He felt sleepy, grumpy. What other dwarfs were there? Silly? Was there a silly as well? I can't remember.
Dopey.
Dopey is when you feel like you're half asleep and you can't concentrate.
Did you hear about the seven dwarfs who were in bed? Uh-huh. And one was feeling grumpy, so grumpy got out of bed.
Yes. Leave the listeners to work that one out themselves. Yes.
How did you feel when you heard about Donald Trump's election victory in the States recently?
I felt very disappointed that he had won, to be honest. I feel apprehensive. Apprehensive is kind of scared of what might happen.
You're feeling anxious.
Sure, yeah, anxious, exactly. Because he made promises of crazy things he's going to do. I'm particularly worried about all our listeners in Mexico. We have quite a lot. I don't want them to wake up someday and see a huge wall between them and the United States. It wouldn't be the best thing for helping relations or indeed your English. Let's hope Donald Trump doesn't build that stupid wall he was talking about.
I don't think he will. I think that was just to get him elected. Is there anything you feel ashamed of?
The Brexit vote, even though I didn't vote for it myself. A very small majority of the British people sadly voted for Brexit, leaving the European Union. And I feel sad and a bit ashamed about that my country voted to leave.
Yeah, I feel ashamed of that too. And also feel ashamed of football hooligans that come from the UK supporting England and cause trouble and violence when they travel abroad. I feel ashamed to be English.
But let's be positive. We know that an achievement you feel proud of is the podcast. What about an achievement you feel proud of your country, Craig, of the United Kingdom or England? Is there something you feel proud of that your country has achieved?
I feel proud of achievements like in music, international music stars that have helped develop and shape the history of music, people like the Beatles, Rolling Stones, David Bowie, those kind of people who have become kind of icons in the music world worldwide, because Britain's pretty famous for music. Mm. What about you? Anything that comes to mind?
Well, you know, I come from Northern Ireland. We could say it's the UK. or not. You could argue about that. But people in Northern Ireland feel very proud of some of the sports stars they produced. For such a small country, it's quite an achievement to have someone who's been the number one golf star in the world, Rory McIlroy. Indeed, footballers like George Best, who was one of the best footballers in his day, from such a small country, it's quite an achievement. So we feel quite proud of that. I think it's typical of small countries to feel a very, very large amount of pride when they get to be the best at something.
And what makes you feel bored?
I'll be totally honest, at correcting writing exercises. I know it's important and I do it, but after you've done it for about 3 hours, it begins to feel a bit boring for me.
I feel surprised that you mentioned that because I wouldn't have imagined that correcting students' writing would make you feel bored. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Hold on. I have one more question for you.
Okay.
How do you feel about Mickey Mouse?
How do I feel about Mickey Mouse? Well, my feelings are mixed. I think we'll leave it there, Ezra.
Okay.
We'll save my feelings on Mickey Mouse for another
episode and another podcast. and another one. Because you know, I'm never going to leave Craig in peace. He's probably feeling quite irritated at my insistence on Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit irritated. But how are you feeling, dear listener? We'd like to know how you feel, how you're feeling at the moment, so that you can practice some of these feelings. And thank you to Mammon for your idea for this episode. If you would like to tell us about your feelings, you can do so via voice message at speakpipe.com. That's speakpipe.com/Inglés. And to help you, I will put a wheel of feelings on the show notes at inglespodcast.com/134 with loads of feelings and words for you to use, and of course, the list of words that Reza and I discussed in this episode with translations into Spanish, all available at inglespodcast.com/134. And remember, you can also send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com.
And if you would like more detailed show notes, please help to support our Patreon program at patreon.com/Inglés Podcast. And our lovely sponsors are
Lara, Carlos, Zara, Mamin, Juan, Sara, Corey Finneran, Manuel García, Jorge Jiménez, Rafael, Raúl, Daniel, and last but not least, Manuel Tarazona.
Thank you for listening, and on next week's episode, we're going to speak about stereotypes and cultural myths about the British. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.